Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council work session before our regular council meeting on May 24th. And we appreciate everyone being here. We have one item on our work session to discuss. And I'll ask City Manager Roger LaDuke to lead that off.
Okay. For some of the newer council members here, in a couple years ago, City Council discussed at one of their Horizon retreats the possibility of establishing a citizen task force that would study issues affecting Aiken seniors so we could determine what measures could be taken to improve and preserve their quality of life. We talked about it a couple times since then and have decided, didn't decide anything, but we have just not taken any action on it. At our work session that we had on the budget, Rosamond McDuffie and Scott Murphy with Council on Aging were present, and they asked tonight to be able to talk to the City Council about some of the issues that their agency is facing concerning providing services to the seniors within our community. So I only bring up the first item because this is something council talked about, and as they discuss this is maybe where council wants to go to kind of look into further as to what can we do to help them, to help the seniors, and to help others within our community. So with that, tonight I did talk to Scott Murphy. I believe it was a week or so ago. He has given us a letter as to what he would like to discuss tonight. He had brought up in the letter the fact that they are not receiving as much funding from the state, from the Lower Savannah Council on Government and United Way. I did talk to United Way and the Lower Savannah Council of Government to kind of get a little bit more insight in that, and we could talk more about that, especially if you want to look at the possibility of establishing the Citizen Task Force sometime in the future. So with that, I believe Scott wanted to make a presentation. If you could just come over here to the podium.
If you would, yeah.
That way we can get you recorded.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I would like to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come before you to speak on behalf of the Aiken Area Council on Aging, as well as our senior citizens of Aiken County. As you can read in the letter, we specified some of the lost fundings that we have incurred over the last year to 2 years. Just for one United Way event, we have lost approximately $76,000 in funding, which equates to 58% of funding we received from United Way and have been receiving in the past. And of course, we all understand that there are economical issues that each and every one of us are facing, other nonprofit agencies, the city, the county, and people individually as well. And when these hardships face our community, many seniors who, especially after the stock market situations and things of that, where you had seniors that thought they were fixing to retire comfortably, as well as our poverty-stricken seniors that reside in our community, the need for services escalates to a level that funding just does not allow. The situation places us in a very difficult situation because under the Old American Act, the fundings that we receive are divided and received from the state and set up and dispersed to each county based on population alone, with no emphasis being applied to the number of retirees or seniors residing in a community. So with that being said, we all the time are looking at ways to not only look for alternative ways to fund various types of programs, but get creative in the way that we fund these programs. And when I mean creative, under the state requirements for instance, with a nutritional program, being, for instance, our congregate meal program, there are requirements as far as the documentation, the staffing, the time frame, the location, all of these things are dictated in how that service is rendered. And it costs approximately a little over $5 a meal to do so. That's with our congregate, which is our group setting. We have six facilities here in Aiken County. They are two in Aiken. We have one in Jackson, one in Gloverville, one in North Augusta, and one in Wagner. We have placed these in the outlying areas because for many years we have heard the cry of many of our seniors that services are only available in the city of Aiken and the difficulties that they face trying to make the trip into and out of Aiken to receive said services. Because of that, we also offer transit services to our seniors. Those are funded through some of our DOT funding contracts for transportation, as well as what is referred to as 3B transportation that is funded under the Old American Act. Those monies alone, the 3B that I'm speaking of, barely covers the cost of getting our seniors to and from our congregate meal sites. So we look to other funding sources such as DOT, and we have two funding sources there. One is for elderly and disabled, and in the past it's been what we refer to as a small stipend. It's been approximately $35,000 to $36,000. You can imagine over a 12-month period how little transportation you can provide for seniors to carry them to shopping, to medical appointments, for anything from a social event to anything that they would like that would help them maintain their independence and dignity and be a contributing citizen in this community. We as a community promote Aiken as being a retirement community, and we need, as an agency as well as a city and a county, to enhance those services, enhance the things that we're offering to our senior citizens to give them fulfillment in their life. A lot of our seniors, based on their physical ability as well as their financial means, are afforded different opportunities to participate in things throughout Aiken County. Some, fortunately, are old enough or based on their age and their health, are able to take advantage of golfing or walking at Odell Weeks or things like that that are available in this community. But we have many of our seniors that, due to financial reasons or to their physical abilities or mobility issues, are limited in what they can and cannot do. So they lean on agencies such as ours to fill that gap and that void. And our congregate meal sites that we offer are not just about the meal. We consider the meal a bonus, but it's the camaraderie and fellowship and being able to experience the getting out of the home and having something to look forward to. And we offer breakfast in the mornings at two of our facilities, as well as the hot noontime meal. And on Mondays and Fridays, we have senior activities from 2 until 5. The 2 until 5 program has no funding. We as an agency foot the bill for that program totally. This is something we feel is needed for the community because the city of Aiken and Aiken County is the only county in the six-county region that does not have a, quote, qualified senior center. The only county. We're the largest population. So our facility at 159 Morgan Street, though we appreciate everything that the city and the county has done to help us acquire the properties and the buildings, it is not space-wise adequate to serve a lot of people simply because of the admin offices being located in the facility as well as having a meal site in the facility. So you are limited there. So again, what we're trying to do is to not only continue services for our seniors and provide them with the outlets and the opportunities to be contributing citizens and enrich their lives as well as to maintain their independence, because we all know that them maintaining their independence is much cheaper than them being institutionalized. And so when we have these funding cuts, when we do our budget, our fiscal year runs July 1 through June 30th. So when we do these budgets and set out our goals of what we are and how we're going to serve our seniors, if fundings disappear, and understanding like with United Way, those monies are used for us to match like the Old American Act monies. Those require a 10% local match to draw those monies down. The DOT contracts that I spoke with you about require a 20% match to draw those monies down. So the contributions that we receive from United Way, the general public, any fundraising, and individuals such as yourself, these are instrumental in helping us turn your money into, say, for every $2 we can turn it into 10, and in some cases for every dollar we can turn it into 10. So that's where I want the council to understand how not only are we very interested in trying to pursue partnerships with other agencies and with the city, but we're good stewards of our monies that are given to us both on federal and state and local levels. We are able, for instance, because of knowing the need for seniors with additional nutritional needs, because we do not have enough money under the Old American Act to address a lot of our seniors' requests, we've partnered with Golden Harvest Food Bank. We can purchase food at 16 cents a pound. Now, under the Old American Act, to provide a person a meal, which is a hot one-third RDA meal, I'm feeding that person one meal a day, 5 days a week. I know most of us prefer to eat 2-3 meals a day and usually eat 7 days a week. So what this is not fulfilling all of what our senior needs are. And many of our seniors lack the infrastructure that many of us take for granted. Family members, neighbors, friends that step in and help with things that may need to be done, or someone to take them from the grocery store to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription or a doctor's office. So again, what we're doing in the services we're offering are to enhance the lives of our seniors. So by partnering with like Golden Harvest Food Bank, where it costs me approximately $1,000 to $1,100 a year to feed that person that one hot meal Monday through Friday, I can take, and for around $450 to $500, I can feed that person 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But it does not have all the red tape attached to it that the Old American Act fundings and some of those programs require. Now, we are not able to count those units per se for any type of reimbursements. Those monies are spent, but we receive the goods and we're able to pass this on to our seniors. We're fortunate that in Aiken, we have a vast interest in our seniors, and that is with the local population and their willingness to volunteer and help disperse meals to our homebound clients. If you'll notice in your letter, we are dispersing at our congregant meal sites a little over 500 meals a day. Our home-delivered meals, we're doing closer to 550 a day. It takes volunteers to get these meals from point A to point B, because if we had to bear that cost, the cost of rendering that service would be astronomical. It would actually make us reduce the number of people we're feeding. So when we take cuts, and as we spoke with a few of you earlier, when you have your state supplemental funds that were the $2.3 million that was earmarked for the state that was about 3 years ago awarded, always in danger of losing that. You had the recent stimulus ARRA money that was offered. Those help a little bit, but again, it's here today going to more type fundings. And then when you have any type of cuts with the state, all of this trickles down. And our citizens do not look to the state or to the Fed or to even the city as being the ones that are not providing this service anymore. They look to the Council on Aging and go, you were the person that I was receiving this service from. Now I'm not able to receive this service because of budget cuts. They do not understand the complexities of what it is and how these fundings interact in the workings. Not to mention that when a program is cut tremendously or a program is eliminated, it's a domino effect. It causes the cost of the other programs to escalate simply because you were diverse with your fundings, and as you take away one of these funding sources, the other programs have to absorb the additional expenses. So as you're aware, and if you read up on your letter and everything that was involved in that, it explains to you the situation that many of our seniors in this community are facing. I also want to point out that if the city was able to make any type of monetary contributions or work with us in any kind of way along these lines, we can earmark it just for the citizens that live in the city of Aiken. I feel that the county holds a position that they should step up and help with those in the outlying areas, as well as some of the smaller towns. But we understand that the smaller towns do not have the budgets that the city of Aiken has, nor do they have a lot of the resources and the monies or the infrastructure to tax to be able to create these budgets. So again, I come to you as the executive director of the Council on Aging to ask to please look at what the city can do and find out if there is any way, shape, or form that we can work together to enrich the lives of our seniors. They're here. They're coming to us daily. The requests are increasing by the day. The transportation needs are being addressed, not sufficiently, but we are at least working diligently with that. We work jointly with the lower Savannah Council of Governments, though many of you all would be aware that we subcontract to operate the Best Friend Express. That has been something that they have been tweaking on as far as the routes and the systems to better enhance and enable our citizens to move from point A to point B. And with the other programs for transportation that we're offering, these basically enhance the other programs. So it's not that we have to hit a home run with each funding source that'll cover all costs and expenses to render service to our seniors, but little hits, singles, and doubles here and there enable us to pool these fundings together and allow us to better serve our citizens. So again, I ask of you as a city council to please look and see what, if anything, that y'all feel that the city can do. We're not putting a dollar figure on anything. I don't think that's fair of us at this time to be doing something like that with the budget issues that y'all are facing, and I'm sure that I'm just one of many in line that is standing, talking, and wanting to get assistance and help their cause. But again, we know that these senior citizens are important to the City Council. Y'all are very much promoting Aiken as a retirement community, and we would like to be a part of that and work with you to help enhance the lives of our seniors here in Aiken.
Scott, thank you so much. I think we all feel that the Council on Aging does a wonderful job. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you, sir.
I thank you and thank the board for the job they do. And our seniors are so important to us. We all have seniors in our family, I'm sure, somewhere. And they're getting older. We're not, but they're getting older. And of course, eventually we'll all need some help ourselves. I've got a couple little questions here, and I suppose others do too.
Sure.
What kind of fundraisers do you have? You know, we've got all kinds of nonprofits, if you will, and I'm sure you go to the meeting too. I think the quality of life, and we hear all the needs, certainly we sit around there and we try to see what can help. How can we help one or the other, and in some way, or who can help them? I know in the past you've had some fundraisers. Do you have an annual fundraiser where you do make some?
We have money? A fundraiser which is called our I Step Up program, which is basically an acronym saying that I support the elderly through payment, and that generates approximately anywhere from $10,000, possibly $15,000 a year.
Oh.
And that's a mail solicitation to the community to request contributions of, you know, the 10 to 20 to 25 or anything above that. We greatly appreciate. We have not, quote, aggressively labeled ourselves as an annual fundraiser. That's something that the board has been diligently working on for about the last year. And that's something that we're wanting to do so that we can, quote, hang our hat on an annual event. There are so many nice festivals that are being conducted here in the city as well as in the county that benefit various charities,
right,
that, you know,
right,
no sense in reinventing the wheel. These are things that work. They have events that are family-oriented as well as some that may be geared more toward the adult activities. So, again, we are looking at what we can do. Of course, there are timetables that we have to work around. A lot of the dates, you know, and the different events have already been selected. So having one directly behind the other, you know, could hurt as far as your participation. You also have the blackout window for when you cannot solicit funding when United Way is active, conducting their campaign. So it does create a little bit, you know, far as a timetable of when it's best to reach out to the general public for such activities.
Yes, but you are working on that.
Oh, yes, sir, definitely.
Yeah, I know I'm on the advisory board for the Salvation Army, for instance, and they have a fundraiser.
Correct.
Every year, the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, sir.
Primarily. And so, and they're in need as well.
Correct.
So, okay, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Scott, tell me a little bit about your charter. Who organized you, and is there any federal mandate in your organization? And then do you have any recourse to get back to the federal government to try to recoup some of the monies they're withholding, or maybe the state is withholding?
We're actually a private nonprofit 501c3 agency. It was formed in 1969 by several concerned citizens in the community that saw the need for these activities and programs to be offered to our seniors. And over the course of the years, these programs and the agency itself has expanded. And basically right now, we have approximately 72 employees. We have, again, the 6 facilities here in Aiken County. And each of those 6 facilities offer a congregate meal site as well as dispersing home-delivered meals from those locations. And we have a volunteer base in those areas that help us in dispersing of those meals. So we have very good infrastructure, being the volunteer staffing, the facilities that we're able to utilize. For instance, the one in Wagner was built with CBG monies. We're, I guess, considered the anchor agency in that facility. One of the requirements that you had to be was 5 days a week and 5 days a week and open for 5 hours a day to render services. They also complement that with some senior activities in the afternoons by their resident person that gets their building custodian or whatever that oversees that building and, you know, keeping it open and making sure the facility stays clean. We're very fortunate to work jointly with Our Lady of the Valley and use their facility for one of our congregate meal sites. We also are with Todd Etheridge in Jackson, the mayor. They provided us with a facility. He went after some monies to build the Roland Smith Senior Center, is what they call it, in that area. That facility has been very beneficial to us. The only problem they've run into already now is it's gotten so crowded they need more space. But it's not a real big room, but it has served its purpose and has at least given us a stepping stone for what services and programs can be offered in that area, because we have a great following. And that's one of the advantages we have, is all of the seniors that are able and that attend a lot of our meal sites are very interested in other things other than just being at the senior center for a meal. We offer speeches and various types of educational opportunities where we have people from outside the community, whether it be doctors, pharmacists, someone that specializes in Medicaid or Medicare, and all of these things, to come in to talk with the seniors to give them an opportunity to be well educated and versed, so that when they make decisions, they will be well informed and be able to at least determine what their faith and the way they should handle it, their decisions as well as their finances. So that's just one small thing that we do. Like I said, the afternoon activities, the agency bears the cost of that. We have everything from things like movie day, where they do popcorn and they get to pick a movie and got a big TV, the whole nine yards, so they would come in and enjoy the fellowship and the camaraderie. And so really each site is able to somewhat put their own agenda together as far as the activities that are appealing to their seniors. So just again, we work diligently to provide the activities as well as the nutrition that the seniors request.
I know you and I chatted. You mentioned the South Carolina Department of Transportation has given you some grants. Are there any other state agencies that would be contributors to your cause?
We are definitely exploring all opportunities there. And again, what you run into is they all require a local match. Some as low as, like I said, through the Old American Act, it only requires a 10% match. The majority require a 20% match or up to a 50% match. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you were getting $50,000, required a $50,000 match, that's what you would have to put up locally. So that's where we have to rely heavily on, like, United Way monies that are contributed to the agency, donations from private citizens, contributions from the business entities in the community. All of these are pooled together so that we have the funding available to earmark those monies for additional funding that we can, you know, in forms of grants or federal contracts.
Scott, how much do you receive from United Way?
Presently, they've cut us back to approximately $92,000. Okay. We were receiving around $165,000. I've been running the agency for 10 years, and over the last, since 2008, they have cut that 58%. And when we ask and request information, what I've been told in the past is, well, a lot of agencies are getting cut. So my question is, with these monies, if they're meeting their goals, someone is either getting an increase or there are more agencies now with their handout
getting
additional
funding.
Yeah,
that's why I asked the question.
Scott, with 72 employees, these are all not full-time?
No, ma'am. No, okay. We have a very small group of full-time employees. Primarily, most of our employees, we have like our nutritional programs. All of those employees are part-time. Typically, they get 25 hours a week. Part-time status is classified at 30 hours or less a week. We have, out of the 72, I would venture to say we probably have 10 to 12 full-time employees.
Okay. The composition of your board, I know that in some cases the success of the organization is dependent upon who's on the board.
Correct.
And who can bring resources to the board. Do you have businesses involved that can bring resources to your board?
We do. We're very pleased with our board. One of our members of president is Roz McDuffie. We also have Mr. Tom Williams with Floyd and Green. Mr. Doug Haley, who is our president, is with Bank of America Mortgage Lending. We have Ms. Sandra Terry, who is retired here living in the community. We have Mr. Paul Maddox, who is a retiree from Westinghouse. We have Dr. Joe Vanetta, who is a retired physician. We have Ms. Sally Brody, who is in real estate. Trying to go off a minute. We have Ms. Linda Holmes, who is retired from Roosevelt Council of Government, who is the aging director of that facility. So we pick and go after board members that bring an expertise to the board. That's something that we are constantly looking for, additional board members that share an expertise, because we as an agency are working diligently day in and day out to provide and render the services throughout the community. However, as you said, having board members that can bring other expertise, connections in the community, and the ability to help solicit fundings through fundraisings or just individuals that they know that were willing to put money into the agency, that is vital to the existence of any nonprofit agency in this community.
Okay. Could you expand? I was a little confused over here.
Okay.
Scott, your comment about Aiken not having a senior center?
Correct. The facility, the main office, is the main office, the admin building, the Aiken Area Council on Aging.
Okay.
But each of the neighboring counties have Aiken, Baumel, Bamberg, Allendale, Calhoun, and St. Matthews are the six counties that make up what is referred to as the Lower Savannah region.
Okay.
Each of those facilities, quote, has a senior center that is specifically referred to and called a senior center in their community. We unfortunately do not. I assisted in the fundraising for the one in Barnwell. It's the Generations Unlimited senior facility that is located there on 278 as you enter Barnwell before you get to the airport. Mm-hmm. And again, our community and the number of citizens we have in this community, in the county alone, we have roughly 28,000 seniors age 60 and older residing in the community now. It is something of the utmost importance to have a facility to where you can offer these types of programs as well as other types of programs, because our office closes at 5 o'clock. A lot of seniors, especially those that are in good health and have good incomes or retirements, these are seniors that we're able to tap into through fees attached to various types of programs, whether it be group trips, whether it be various types of activities, art classes, just anything that the group would be so inclined to participate in. These would be revenues that you could generate to help, you know, perpetuate the programs and services that you're offering.
Scott, those centers, though, were built with federal funds, USDA funding.
It's a combination of both local and what they refer to PIP, Permanent Improvement Program.
Right.
And typically that requires a match as well. The new brick and mortar, if you construct from ground up, requires a 20-year commitment to using that facility for those type of services and mm-hmm. programs. Renovation only requires a 10-year commitment to those fundings. The one in Balmer that I spoke of, the county put up $75,000 for that program. Excuse me, it was $125,000 for that program. And the remaining of those funds, we were able to go out and solicit through the community. For instance, I know a very big contractor in that area that was willing to come in and put in and provide all the site work for the facility. We had Cullum Lumber, which is located in Allendale. The gentleman lives in Baumel. He was willing to put up the lumber for the facility. So there are multiple ways of getting to the end result. It does not just require someone writing a check. There are many good-hearted people in the community and businesses that have a very strong feeling for our senior population. And they may not be able to, quote, contribute monetarily, but they can contribute, whether it be through labor, through in-kind contributions, things of that nature.
Were those buildings built within the city limits or outside the city limits?
I believe, Linda may be able to tell me, I believe they're all inside the city limits, if I'm not mistaken. I know the one in Barnwell is within the city limits. The one in Bamberg is within the city limits. I know Allendale's within the city limits. I believe they all are in the city limits, but I'm just trying to go off of memory from visiting each location. Hmm.
Scott, let us, the time's getting away from us, but we're totally interested in this, no doubt about it. Let us do something, perhaps, if council agrees, that Roger mentioned earlier on as a possibility, and we were just discussing it again. Let's set up a task force, yep. Somebody from each of these organizations, the COG, and whoever else you would decide and others would decide, or key people,
yes.
And sit down and brainstorm this thing and say, okay, now what can we do? And we'll be sitting there with you.
Yes, sir.
I would ask to include somebody from USDA as well, Mr. Mayor.
Sure. Whatever the proper organizations are that we think can give us help in this, give us all help in this situation. And
we welcome the opportunity to work with the city, the council, any other agencies in the community.
Okay. Roger, you want to work or have perhaps Richard or someone on your staff work on this to get the proper talk with Scott and get the proper folks together, and then we'll see what collectively can be done.
Why don't I bring back something to City Council for the next meeting, okay. A possible group to get together. Council may have some other suggestions.
Okay.
I do know that when I talked to United Way today and the Lower Savannah Council of Government, they welcomed the opportunity to sit down and try to think of ways to work on things. But like Leslie brought up, you know, USDA, there might be some other organizations that we might want to get involved. Maybe one of you want to sit in on the task force also.
Mm-hmm.
And we could bring together these 7, 8, 9, 10 individuals and have a series of meetings. Parks and Recreation and the Planning Department have been discussing this for the last year. Because we know, as Scott said, that the number of individuals within our community that are going to be needing assistance is not going to decrease. It's only going to increase in the future. And there's going to be more constraints on where the money's going to come from.
That's correct.
And so we're going to have to all really be thinking out of the box as to how can we join together with the county, the city, the other agencies to meet these needs. And we might have to come up with some different type of thinking than we've ever had before as to how to do this. So I'll come together with a list of folks for you to look at the next meeting, and then you can decide you want others, individuals involved, and see where we want to go from there.
Okay. And are there funding options that you can tell us about?
At this point in time, there really isn't, and that's one of the things I brought up with Rosman and Scott. There are 30-some different nonprofit agencies in our community, and once you start giving direct funding to one, it's hard then to say no to the next one.
I understand.
And so whatever we do, we have to kind of look at the larger picture of how do we work with the Council on Aging, yet not have other agencies say, well, why not us? And so it's going to be a balance that we're going to have to work together to see what we could do. And there might be other things other than just direct funding,
yes,
that we might be able to provide in some kind of services to them.
Yeah, I deem it very important for the community to know about your matching opportunity. If you,
sure,
if you tell me if I can give you $50, you can turn it into $500, I think I'm going to be more inclined to give you the $50.
I understand.
As opposed to just giving you $50 and recognizing it's not going to do much.
But, yes.
So somehow if we can let the community know about that, because that's a return on investment you're just not going to get anyplace.
Correct. We welcome all and any involvement we can receive from the city and the county as well.
Scott, yes, on your long-range plan that you have several years ago, 6, 7, 8, time flies.
Yes, sir.
The city gave you that lot across the street.
Correct.
On the corner.
Correct.
I forget how big that lot is, but what were your plans on that? To move your headquarters there?
Actually, we had looked at one time moving admin facility across the street to free up the old Teen Town, which is our main office now, to be able to really take out some of the walls and expand, give them more space and room to do various types of activities as opposed to being in one big room. That's something we have looked at. We've also looked at utilizing that to enhance the transit services to our seniors and the general public. There are some DOT funds that are possibly out there now again that will help pay for a transfer facility. So right now, a lot of our seniors that are utilizing the Best Friend Express or even some of our other buses, they are forced to basically sit out on the front porch. And, you know, when it's in the spring or the fall, it's not so bad. But once you get into the dead of winter or the middle of the summer, it's a little precarious for them to have to sit in those type of elements in the environment. And again, we're talking about seniors, you know, something that many of us that are younger could do but may not, you know, be doing so and enjoying. But that in turn makes a system, when you have the infrastructure in place, more user-friendly, to where people are more apt to utilize something as opposed to having to get out and walk to a distance to get to another facility. Mm-hmm. And that's why, just like ourselves and with the Lawrence Atlanta Council of Governments, we have worked diligently together to address a lot of these transit needs. And that's something that I think you will be very surprised with a lot of things coming out in the very near future.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosman, for being with us. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
I just want to tell you that we are privileged to have, Mr. Murphy with us. He's doing an excellent job of managing this. He has provided us with all sorts of ideas that we have needed, even just to follow through with it. So we're in the best hands that we can possibly have. Thank you, and we do need your help.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosman. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point in time, we will end our work session, of course, and we'll begin our city council meeting. And we welcome all of our visitors and citizens here and our scouts. And before we go any further, Don, would you like to introduce the scouts there? We don't know when they're going to leave or have to leave. So,
Mr. Mayor, I think they said they were going to stay to the entire end of the meeting. No, actually, we are very, very privileged to have with us tonight Scout Troop number 421. These guys meet out at Cedar Creek, and Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd like for them to be able to stand up and tell us who they are.
Absolutely, would you? Speak loud. You can start with you, sir, if you'd like.
I'm Billy Anderson, Assistant Scoutmaster.
Can't hear you, Samuel.
I'm Samuel.
Daniel.
Okay.
Evan, Assistant Scoutmaster.
Okay.
Austin Boyd, Assistant Scoutmaster.
Tony Pecker.
Okay.
Terry Willard, Assistant Scoutmaster.
Andrew Coda.
Zachary Dunham.
Gary Anderson.
Hunter Gore.
Taylor Willard.
Hey.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. Scouting is a wonderful program, and you know that, and we know that too. And thank you, leaders, for what you're doing with the young men. And appreciate you being here again. As we begin our meeting, if you would please stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Let us please bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you for this day. God, we thank you for life and health and strength. We don't take that for granted, dear Father. We thank you for our community, our volunteers, our staff who give so much of their time and their talent to this city. Dear Father, there are so many folks that are in need in this town, all across the nation. And we ask that you somehow touch them in a very special way. Let them know that in times of trouble, in times of need, if they call upon you, you're there to answer in your time and in your way. God, we ask that as we begin this agenda for this evening, that you go with our thoughts and hearts and minds. Guide us in every way. help us to know that with compassion and understanding that we can do anything that you would have us to do. And whatever we do, dear Father, we'll be always careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We pray this prayer, dear Father, in the name of your Savior. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second for approval of our agenda?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item one is minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session of May 3rd, 2010, and the regular meeting of May 10th, 2010. Any discussion necessary? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor? Approval? Passes unanimously. Under old business, first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have four appointments before you tonight. Two are by Councilwoman Price and two are by Councilwoman Clyburn. The first one is the reappointment of Joanne Saunders to the Arts Commission and the reappointment of Andrew Boatwright to the Building Codes Appeal Committee. And Councilwoman Clyburn would like to reappoint Keisha Lloyd Kennedy to the Arts Commission and Timothy Redd to the Building Codes Appeal. Those are your four appointments tonight, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the appointees as recommended.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item two is approval of a stormwater work at Whitney Polo Field. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. We've been discussing this item for quite some time now, and the City Council first heard about this in January earlier this year. We had a meeting at last month where we talked about the fact that the stormwater work needed to be completed as soon as possible because it was affecting other areas. I spoke to one of the council members earlier today, and the fact that probably a lot of people think that the Whitney Trust is a nonprofit agency. They are not. They fit into one of those other 501 C categories. They are a profit, and they do pay taxes. They do pay a water bill. They do pay storm drainage, just like all of us do. And the water from that area not only is coming from that area, but from the Knox Avenue area and affects the properties in and around that property. For that reason, we are recommending to City Council that we go ahead and do the stormwater work. I gave you a plan of action for doing what I call the ultimate stormwater work, which would be cleaning out the ditches on the inside and outside to their original depth. In reality, what we'd like to do would be to work at this as a three-phase approach. Larry Morris went out there with Councilmember Ebner earlier today and looked at it and compared some photos that he took in January of this year after about a 2.5-inch rainfall, and much of the area had was flooded. In looking at those pictures and then trying to line up the work that really needed to be done immediately, it appears the area on the north side of the track, or the area along Meade Avenue, needs to be cleared out from approximately where the barns are at, and you come all the way around the corner to Knox Avenue, where Buzz Rich has his house. And so about approximately a half of that area on the outside would be the first phase. We'd clean out that ditch on the outside portion of it. We'd remove some of the underbrush that's in the area. And this alone, we feel, will take care of the majority of the problem and may, in fact, take care of all the problem. If that, after we get some rainfalls, we find out that there's still some problems, that we would go ahead and do the remaining portion of the outside of the ditch. If we still saw there were some problems, then we would start working on the inside area. The inside area would be a ditch between the track itself and the polo field. After surveying it and looking at it, we think, though, that the doing the phase one, as we'll call it, will take care of the vast majority. And using our crews and our trucks and putting a dollar value on our personnel, putting a dollar value on our trucks, and some piping that we may need, we think that this work can be done for $50,000 or less. Ultimately, if we have to do all the work, we might be up in the range of $75,000. So tonight, what we'd like your approval is to go forward with this work and to begin it immediately, or as soon as we get an agreement signed by the trustees giving us permission to do the work, and kind of like a whole harmless agreement that we're going to go in there, we're going to do the work, we're going to be able to work on their property, and that would be something that Ben Moore will work with the trustees on getting that. As soon as we got that signed, then we would go ahead and probably in the first few weeks in June start the work itself. We still want to go ahead and look at the larger picture as to the protection of that property. That is going to take a meeting with the trustees. I've been notified by several of you that this Wednesday is not a good date to have this meeting. I talked to Bill Tucker, one of the trustees, about this to see what would be a good date. He felt that next week also there's going to be one of the trustees that's going to be out of town. So we're probably talking, let's see, the first week in June would be the very earliest that we could get together. So before we end this issue totally, I would like to have people pull out their calendars and see if there are some dates that work or maybe do not work as to when we might be able to go ahead and meet with the trustees. But before you tonight, this is consideration of the approval of a maintenance of the stormwater at the Whitney Trust Field utilizing city crews and equipment.
Okay, do you want to set a price on that, a level which?
Well, at this point in time, because we don't know if we're going to complete phase one or phase two or phase three, we'd like to just say the stormwater work, whatever it's going to entail to complete it. We're hoping that phase one will take care, like I said, the vast majority of the work. We're trying to get it where a 2-inch rainfall would be able to fall and they'd still be able to use the field within a reasonable period of time.
Okay.
And so, Roger, we're saying that we don't, let me understand this, the total cost shouldn't be over $80,000 total?
That is correct. And that'd be, if we have to hire someone to cut out some trees, and we think there's very few trees that would have to be cut out, we'd have to buy some pipe. Those are the only outside costs we'd have, mm-hmm. is buying some pipe, possibly hiring someone to cut down some trees. The rest of it is an in-house cost, which we have placed in that $80,000. About $75,000 of that is in-house, our trucks, our labor to do the work.
So can we approve it on the motion that we...
if you'd like to put a maximum number, 80? Certainly,
yes.
that'd be agreeable.
That's what I would suggest, Mr. Mayor.
And if it requires more, then...
Then we can bring it back to the council.
Okay.
Sure, sure. Okay. Do we have a motion then and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
At 8,000? 80? Is that what we're...
80, yes.
80. 80.
Second that motion.
Max at this time. Okay. Any other?
I just ask what the motion is, really. Are we doing it phase 1, 2, and 3 in sequence?
The motion covers phase 1, 2, and 3. And
80,000.
For 80,000, if it's not used, then the money would revert back to the stormwater fund, is what I understand.
Okay.
I do have some questions before we vote on it, though, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
Sure.
I'm through.
Yes, I think Mr. Tucker and Mr. Moore are both out here, and my concern is, and I have had a conversation with Mr. Tucker, to be sure that our work easement covers two different sections of property in that area, and maybe he can make some comments about that, because one of them is the sand lot and one of them is the Whitney Trust. And to the work we're doing, it's really immaterial, but we want to be sure that we're properly covered there for liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Ben, would you come up here also just in case? Thank you.
I may need a lawyer. Good evening. Bill Tucker representing the Whitney Trustees, and to answer Reggie's Specific question. I think what this all boils down to is that there's a difference. There's no question as to the title of the polo field itself and the barns to the east of the polo field. It's clearly part of the deed of conveyance from 1901 when the Whitney trustees were established. What's in question, and to what Reggie is referring, is the land that is commonly known as the sand lot that lies between the polo field itself and the right-of-way of Meade Avenue. It has been long held, managed. The trust pays taxes on it. It's part of the same parcel number. But if you read the legal description, it is not clear to me, and no one has agreed that the sand lot is part of the original conveyance from 1901, nor have I been able to find, and others have not been able to find, any subsequent deed recorded on the public records of Aiken County that place the sand lot in the Whitney Trust. I've discussed with Roger undertaking a suit to quiet title. The only other conceivable owner of the property would be the Hitchcock Realty Company, which has long been disbanded and would be made up of members of the Hitchcock family. A key point of contact there is Julian Peabody, who is 95 or 96 years old and is the grandson of Thomas and Louise Eustace Hitchcock, who is a retired attorney from San Francisco and makes two visits a year to Aiken. He was just here just a couple of weeks ago, actually. But Julian would not be the one conclusively to be able to just sign a quitclaim deed and deed it over. It would be, you would have to do a quiet title action to bring about any contingent heirs and devisees of the Hitchcock descendants, of which there are many. And that's not going to be something that we can do overnight. I have no question or concern. I don't think there's anybody that would raise any issue if some of your stormwater work had to occur in this unknown or uncharted territory of the sand lot. I have no question whatsoever that you would not find anybody coming up and saying, well, you can't do that, that's my property. They don't exist. I mean, whatever Hitchcock heirs there are who would possibly hold a claim of some undivided interest in that property, they don't even know that they have that. But it's something that's just, it's an I-dotting and T-crossing that needs to be done to make absolutely sure. And this is something that we have known about for a long time, but have never been had any real reason to deal with it. Now we have a reason to deal with it. So I've assured Reggie and Roger that we would undertake that. But I think for the purposes of what you're talking about now, that I think you are safe to proceed. I would ask you to proceed. I don't know that there's even an absolute certainty as to where the dividing line would be between the sand lot and the Whitney Trust property, in that the legal descriptions, as you can imagine, from 1901 are, like most of the legal descriptions of that era, very nebulous. There is an acreage figure, and it says bounded on the north by such and such and on the west by such and such, but it doesn't have a meets and bounds description that Ben, I think, would agree would constitute a really accurate legal description. Of course, you have public rights of way on the west side of Magnolia, and the land that was sold off by the trustees many years ago that now constitute four residential properties on the south, that would be ascertainable, and I think the boundaries on the east are pretty ascertainable. So this is the only question mark we would have. Does that answer your question and enlighten the council?
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. So we promise you that will be undertaken, but we would certainly look forward to working with you on getting this stormwater work underway, given the fairly limited period of time that you have to do it before the activities of the fall start cranking up. So thank you very much for your help.
Bill, just a question.
Sure.
In a case like this that you explained, is there any legal thing you have to do or you should do, like put a a piece in the paper.
Yes.
For a certain period of time.
Yeah. There would be a, and Gary might want to speak to this as well. I think Scott Patterson, who works in Gary's office, has kind of made a specialty of this kind of a deal. But it would constitute a friendly lawsuit where you have to file a summons and complaint in the Court of Common Pleas, and there would be a legal notice that would have to be published on three consecutive times in the Aiken Standard as a paper having general circulation in the county in which the property is located. And then there would be a guardian ad litem appointed for unknown heirs and devisees, and there would have to be a hearing. It would be in front of the master in equity, most likely, at which time evidence is presented to the master that would substantiate the fact that
right.
by adverse possession or otherwise we should get the title, and then there would actually be a deed issued by the master in equity confirming title in the Whitney trustees.
Is that something you would want to do in the future, or
well, we need to do it? We should, you know, it's something that could have been done long ago, but it's
sure.
just never been pushed.
But,
never been
but is it something that will be? Will
yes.
be done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will.
I got a question.
Now,
excuse me. That's a separate issue from the work easement.
Right.
Yeah. I realize that, but I was just asking that question because it seems like still you're dealing in a piece of property that you don't know about.
Right.
But what we've said here, I think, is that hey, chances are nil.
Right.
That anyone knows they own it if they
right.
do.
But I could not certify title to that property
right.
if you asked me to give you a certificate
yeah.
of title. I could not render a legal opinion
understand.
That we had fee simple title to it.
The purposes of our work we're talking about, we don't need to
that's correct.
Be...
I wouldn't think so. And as I said, it's taxed as part of the Whitney trustee's property. As far as the assessor's office is concerned, and ergo your city finance office, it's part of the Whitney trustee's property in terms of the tax parcel. So we've paid the taxes on it. Nobody has laid any claim to it. In fact, I have a letter in the file from Mr. Peabody from the 70s addressed to Julian Sally that makes reference to the fact that, you know, this is your property. So they don't harbor any claim to it. It's just something that I don't know, maybe there's an unrecorded deed lying around somewhere, but it's the fact is I don't find it of record.
And how long has the trust paid the taxes?
Well, long before I became a trustee. Woody's in the audience as well.
Over 20 years?
Oh, I would say, yeah.
I've been trustee for 25.
So at least 25 years.
Is it fenced as part of the Polo Field property?
No, it's not. There's the ditch, the famous ditch we're talking about, sort of acts as a natural divide between the actual Polo Field and the sand lot. Now, the sand lot is used for horses training. It's had multiple disciplines using it. Plus, you have it's used as parking for soccer tournaments. So it's just a basically a rectangular sand lot.
I mean if council's
it's not fenced.
If council's concerned about it, it's one of those things where it would be just very highly unlikely that anybody would pop out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Right.
Once that lawsuit was filed, you would expect once the time is run for the proper amount of service that the judge would issue an order that would put that property in their name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
You know, looking down the road, we're going to be discussing possibly some kind of an arrangement where we get some guarantee that it's not going to be developed.
Correct.
Will you have enough title to the property, the sand lot, to be able to guarantee the no development for that area also?
I would expect that to be included in that. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Respond
then,
to
Mr. Moore then can proceed with getting a work easement then.
Yeah, we'll be in touch with Ben then.
Thank you, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to just say that, you know, not only is this going to benefit the Whitney Polo Field, but also there are city residents that live around the Polo Field that currently, when heavy rains, their property floods, and so this is going to benefit them as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's
certainly.
Something that certainly we need to go forward with.
Absolutely. Well, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor? Approval? Okay, passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
We need to set a date then.
Yes, we do.
So does anybody have the first week in June, that Monday is Memorial Day. I don't think you want to meet on May 31st. So we have...
Yeah, may I interject? I discovered after you and I talked today, Roger, that Mr. Millen is going to be out of town for, what, a couple of weeks into June?
June 3rd through the 15th.
So, I mean, we're actually pushed back. I think you were a week off in your...
Okay, so okay. Like June 1st?
Next week is...
How about June 1st or June 2nd?
When are you leaving?
Wednesday, which I think is June
2nd. So June the 1st would work?
For 1st is fine with me.
Fine with me?
Okay with me.
Fine
with me. Is that Evans here? Sarah, what time is the ADDA Design Review Board meet? Is that the first Tuesday? Sandra, is that the first Tuesday? The Design Review Board, when do they meet?
It's the first Tuesday.
And they meet?
What?
Both places?
They start at 2:04 for their pre-hearing work session.
I mean, we could meet downstairs, probably. It just would mean that we could meet up here in this room.
That's okay.
Yeah, but if we meet, it's by definition a public meeting, so yep. How much room do we have downstairs?
I mean, we've got the whole conference room.
We can meet in the conference room.
Cast of thousands.
All right.
We could meet across the hall if there weren't very many people, and not very many people could get across the hall, though.
Is that... June 1st seem suitable for everybody?
What time?
It's a good time.
5, 6, 7?
5.
5? 5, okay.
5, all right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
5 Great. O'clock on the okay. June 1st.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Woody.
Thank you all.
Okay. Item 3 is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving the budget for the fiscal year 2010-2011.
Every year, City Council, let me read the ordinance title to you first. Proper. This ordinance adopting a budget proposed by the city manager containing estimates of proposed revenue and expenditures by the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010 and ending June 30, 2011 and declaring that the same shall constitute the budget of the City of Aiken for such fiscal year. We all know where the economy is at. It's not the greatest right now. It's not the worst that it could be, though, in Aiken. We have been able to weather the downturn that we have seen nationally in the state probably much better than most cities. We are projecting that since the downturn took place that our building permits are still about 55% lower than they once were. Our state revenues are down about 35%. 85% reduction on our interest rates and our vehicle tax about 15%. And all told, where last year we were down about 8% in our expenditures, we will only have about a 1% shrinkage from what we had a couple years ago. Some of the reasons why our budget's increased a little bit over last year is primarily because we do have a grant to bring in 4 new public safety officers. 3 of those positions were frozen at the time a couple years ago. And when I say frozen, council had approved the positions, we had filled the positions, and as the recession started hitting, I told our public safety department we were not in a position to fill those positions. So we went for a little over a year without filling those positions, hoping that we could get a grant, knowing that if we didn't get a grant, we'd just have to go another year without those positions. We did get a grant, and those 4 positions are in the budget, which is even 1 more than what we had frozen at that time. We do have several major capital items in here. 13 public safety vehicles are in the budget. Again, we went for a year without purchasing any public safety vehicles. We're at a point, though, where we need to get some, and so we have 13 of them in there. We also have a lift truck, one, or a bucket truck, whatever you want to call it, that is used in public works, some garbage trucks, no commercial, but other type of garbage trucks that are in there. And so everything within our depreciation for vehicles and equipment, which we went for 1 year without fully funding it, is fully funded in this year's budget. We had already talked and agreed on an increase for our water and sewer, and we had also talked about our commercial, and that has all been dealt with. Within the budget, there is a 1% salary increase. And I've heard from some people saying, well, you know, that's a lot of money. It is, but on the same token, our health insurance has gone up this past year by over 5%, probably will again this next year. And for individuals making $30,000 or less, they actually are losing money even with a 1% increase. So it's that 1% basically takes care of their health insurance and doesn't fully make up for it for the lower paid employees. We do have money in here for security equipment at H.O. Weeks and at Smith Hazel. That was something that council was very concerned about. We have two part-time individuals that provide some security at these facilities during evenings and weekend hours. We are continuing with all of our support that we've had in the past, the library, ADDA, Lower Savannah Council on Government with the Best Friends Express, Economic Development Partnership that's with Fred Humes, working with their industry within our community. And we have money within the budget from our victim services budget, where part of the fines and forfeitures that people pay when there's tickets, DUIs, etc., money is set aside through those four agencies that work with victims. So we have $9,000 available in there for the Child Advocacy Center and $9,000 for the Cumbie Center, which have come before council in the past. I know you all are been very concerned about their budgets and where they stand in the future. Local option sales tax, we are continuing to work at the projects that were approved by the voters. We are continuing with the studies that we have, the North Side, Doherty Road, Highway 19, roadway studies, putting a walking trail at Citizens Park with some restrooms, continuing with our street resurfacing, putting some sidewalks in along Whiskey Road once the drainage ditch gets filled in, and working on some mobile bleachers. But one of the things that we haven't talked an awful lot about and we're getting ready to work on that is there is $250,000 in there for a splash park. That's a water feature that only has a few inches of water in that kids like to run around and play with in. And so we're starting with our Recreation Commission as to where that will be located and coming back to you with some ideas on that sometime during this next year. In addition, with the lost money, we will also be capping our former landfill and continue with the reduction of the stormwater that we have started with in the parkways and on some of the pavement that will be removed with paver bricks and then going with porous asphalt and porous concrete pavement. We believe that meets most of your long-term and short-term goals that you have. And the general fund, we're happy to say that we do not have any tax increases or any other fund increases, such as like in stormwater, the fire fees, or anything else. This is the 21st year, I believe, that we have gone without an increase in taxes. And in fact, it's we've had several reductions during that time, which is something that's very important to businesses and residents alike. So for City Council consideration, this is the second reading of the budget that is for fiscal year 2010-2011.
Thank you, Roger, very much. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the budget for fiscal year 2010-2011.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and we have a second. Okay, discussion.
Yeah, I have a question. Roger, with regard to the 1% pay raise for employees, it seems to be qualified that it would be provided only if we have a sufficient surplus from this year's budget.
That is correct.
Which, what do you mean by this year's budget?
The current budget, we're currently in the 2009-2010. Okay. We will know probably mid-August whether or not we'll have that surplus. That surplus would have to amount to about $140,000, which is about 1%. We have about a $14 million payroll. And if we have that amount, then that would then go into effect. But if for some reason we do not have that surplus, then I would tell council, come back to council and say, we either need to hold it up or potentially not having it if we don't see our taxes or other items coming in over budget.
Now, if we get an increase mid-year in medical costs, is that something that you need to bring back to the budget because it's over to the council because it's over $25,000?
We have not, because it's not an expenditure. It's actually a revenue coming in to our budget. So in the past, when we've had an increase to the employees for health insurance, this has not come back to council. Now, if we were going to go ahead and say we need to increase our portion, then it would have to come back to City Council.
So the increase is strictly from the employees'
Correct.
Portion?
Correct. It's
okay.
Just a revenue.
And the only other concern I have is, again, everybody knows what a pessimist I am when it comes to the economy. What do we need to do to make sure that we start the budget earlier next year so that we could zero base it? Is there part of this process that needs to be included so that we can start in January instead of getting it? I mean, the county didn't get theirs until last week, which is really surprising. You know, I think the county has given themselves 30 days, and I don't know if the rest of the council wants to look at the budget earlier or not, but I certainly do. So how do we make that?
That would be strictly up to council. If you want to start in January with the budget process, we could certainly do so. We have typically not done that.
I know we've never done it.
Yeah, we start with horizons in January, the end of January, but... Well, do we need to decide that tonight? I think we all agree. I don't think there's any problem with starting a little early,
okay.
But we have to have a system. How are we going to start, and how are we going to do it? How is the staff going to do it, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing? And perhaps they could bring kind of a plan to us as to how
why don't we do this? We could have that as a topic at our horizons.
Yes.
And then you can discuss it at Horizons to see if you want to start the process then.
Sounds good to me.
Very good. Okay.
We got our first topic for Horizons.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. I think we all want to thank our staff, Roger and staff and Kim and everyone involved with the budget, putting it together and keeping track of the finances. And they do a super job, and it's great that we haven't had a property tax millage increase in so many years.
Just one other comment, Mr. Mayor. I meant to mention that at our municipal association meeting, there will be a session on using dashboards to see the big picture, and that's something I'd recommend we all attend because it will permit us the opportunity to monitor the budget as we go through the year. Rock Hill is apparently putting that program on.
Okay. All right. Great. Item 4. We just did item 4. No, we didn't. Second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to set the millage rate for the fiscal year 2010 through 2011. Not through, but...
This is an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010, set the millage therefore at 66 mils, provide for the expenditures thereof. City Council just approved the budget. Within the budget is the recommendation that we stay at the 66 mils. It's met our needs, and we decreased from 71 mils to 66 mils a couple of years ago. And so for your consideration tonight, this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance setting the millage rate for 2010-2011 at 66 mils.
Okay. We have a motion. Second.
Mr. Mayor, I move.
I beg your pardon. This is a second. And this is a second reading and public hearing. And I guess I was remiss in not saying that earlier on our budget. And on, of course, a public hearing, our citizens have a right to say something if they wanted to on the subject. So I was at fault at that. I apologize. This is a second reading also on the millage rate, so if there's anyone that would like to speak on that, you may do that. This is a formality, of course, that we go through, and we always want our citizens to be able to speak on these issues if they want. And if anyone wanted to speak on the millage rate, you certainly could do that. If not, it would be back to City Council for consideration of the issue. Okay. That's where we are now.
Yes. Mayor, I move that we approve on the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance to set the millage rate for fiscal year 2010-2011 at 66 mills.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any other discussion? Any discussion?
Well, I would like to echo what Councilman Dewar said. Let's not fall or totally get enamored with the keeping the millage rate. I think we ought to take a look at next year's budget early enough so we can go down to a bare base minimum and come up with whatever millage rate is required. There's some necessary services that we're supposed to provide, and I think we should figure out exactly from a black sheet of paper what those necessary services are and then start from there. That's just an editorial comment. Mm-hmm. Strong message to follow.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5 is approval of bus shelters. Mr. LeDuc, please.
A couple of meetings ago, you did approve a bus shelter at the hospital and at Han Village, and you wanted to go ahead and to see the approximately the different types of designs that were available for this. And so we gave you two examples. I can't say that what we're showing you is absolutely what will be built, because until they go out for bids with this and the company shows us the drawings, we will not know. But we wanted to give you two designs that we could then tell them we want the building to look like. One has more of a barrel roof. One has a peaked roof. Very common with the bus designs, both of them cost about $5,000. If you asked us our preference, we'd probably like the peak roof a little bit better than the barrel roof, but one is not any better than the other one. They're still going to hold the people in there. They're going to go ahead and keep the rain off of them, keep the wind off of them, and we think would be very functional. Again, the process is the Lower Savannah Council on Government has applied for this grant. They'll be going out for bids very shortly. Once the bids come in and the firm has been approved, they will deliver the shelter to these various sites, and Public Works will be installing the shelter at those sites. Again, one site being at the hospital and the other site being near Han Village on Route 19. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of either the peaked roof design or the barrel roof design for the bus shelters at these two locations.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, Linda Basham is here from Lower Savannah. I don't know whether she has any input or not.
Okay, if she would like to speak, Linda, you may certainly do that.
I think Roger has covered it. I'll be letting him up here, but I think Roger's done a great job of explaining that. Thank you, girl. It's really... If you have a strong preference about the look of the bus shelters, we want everybody to be happy with it and think that it's a credit to the community. I will add some good news. We met
Linda, you want to tell who you are and what you represent?
Okay. I'm Linda Basham, and I work for Lower Savannah Council of Government, so thank you. Okay. We're just delighted to be able to offer better amenities for the passengers who use the Best Friend Express, and we were so pleased that both the Housing Authority and Aiken Regional Medical Centers are really so enthusiastic and supportive of having these shelters placed in their areas. We talked again today with the COO and the Director of Facilities at Aiken Regional, and they have offered to coordinate with you when these go in to mount some kind of really secure trash receptacle that would look nice and be the same finish as the bus shelter, and they will keep that maintained and emptied, and they also will be glad to put up a light, which would make that more secure. So we thought that was a nice addition to the partnership. And at Han Village, at the Housing Authority, they've offered to mount a security camera, and to do the, you know, maintenance and the trash and all that. So good reception, and I think it's just up to you. If you have a strong preference on a look that you like, then there are lots of options, and when we do the procurement, we'll be sure that we take everybody's input into consideration and get something that's pleasing and fits the space and is safe for the people who use it.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the descriptions, it says 3 to 4 smokers are accommodated. That's kind of a light subject. What about the non-smokers? But in reality, my question will be, are we going to ban smoking inside the shelter?
That's a very good question.
I think our attorney is coming forward.
I'll be glad to yield.
Okay.
I can give you my opinion, but I'll let Ben give you the legal opinion.
It's a closed system.
Well, it has an opening, and someone on your staff made a good point that we may want to consider in the design to have more than one opening, because you wouldn't want somebody to block an entrance and trap somebody in the shelter. I mean, you really want to think about safety. So we're probably talking about something that would have an opening on either side, as enclosed as possible, but still it would have air moving through it and more than one entrance and egress, hopefully.
It looks like the one with the rounded roof is fully open, and it is cheaper. I don't know what difference.
I can't tell. Left and right front opening. It's got two openings.
I'm smoking.
Well, it just depends on ultimately exactly what the structure we build is, because we have a smoking ordinance, but it's very specific, and it sounds like we may be dealing with one structure that this open-ended one.
Two sides had to be opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one says left and right front opening, the rounded.
Just a point of clarification. I'm all in favor of these. I just think we want to clear up that question.
Well, I think it's a good question.
It's a good question.
And you can have the entrance and egress, I think, with either type of roof. It's just a general rule. You know,
I would just suggest there's probably nothing wrong with putting a no smoking sign inside.
Right, I think that's easier to
yeah.
And I think that the hospital has a no smoking on the property, on the premises sign.
That's right.
So I don't think that's a big issue. Just post a sign, no smoking.
Yeah. It's just something we have to decide and carry through if we have others coming down the road, too, that we're going to be putting in.
And what council decides today may make a large difference in the future, because this is a prototype, and if this works out like we think it probably will, there might be a few others being placed throughout our community at key locations.
We've already been approached by USC Aiken. They're interested, and so I think it is good to consider this up front.
And I just want to say, those of us who have transportation take it for granted, because I'm running to students right now that have never had a driver's license, never owned a car, one car family, and have no transportation. There's students that are coming into our community to work at Savannah Riverside, so we're having to identify ridership in addition to some working at the hospital, so they need transportation back and forth, so this is quite useful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of like the rounded roof myself. It's got two openings,
yeah,
and I only see one in the other. And it might mean we'd have to, or they may have another example that does have two openings. I don't know.
I think you can specify the openings regardless of the roof type.
Is there a good reason why we'd want either one of them as far as the roof is concerned?
Is Sandra? I think what's important is that we get one with a right and a left opening, and that we put the no smoking sign in there. And
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Whether it's rounded or four-pitched, it doesn't matter.
Well, assuming you could get that on either one of them, we have to make a decision.
Sandra has a comment.
We can specify two openings, or actually we're also thinking of looking into having the entire front open to depending on the orientation and the rain. I wouldn't worry about the openings. It's the roof and the general design that we're seeking guidance. Sandra Korblick, city staff.
Actually, I like them both.
But it really doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah.
As long as we have two openings, at least two openings.
Mm-hmm. Why not order one of each?
Let's try both of them right now and see which one looks good and we can...
Okay, one of each?
Right.
That's $500, it looks like, that's different. If I'm reading that correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
About 500. It is one bigger than the other in square footage?
We can specify the size, too. I think those are just general examples of the look.
Okay. Okay, now how are we going to, who's going to do that then? To specify the square footage?
I think some of that probably is going to depend on the actual site, where it's going to be located. Mm-hmm. I think that Aiken Regional probably would, the facilities director probably would enjoy having a little bit of input on that too, since
sure.
you know they're going
sure.
to be helping to maintain it, and we want to be sure that it's appropriate for the amount of cleared space that's at each one of those locations.
They may have more people that use it at that location than Han Village.
Yeah, that location has a lot of traffic because right. it's in, on the crosswalk by that big medical center where those doctor's offices are,
right.
and right there on the side by the hospital entrance, too.
And I would think they would want something, Mr. Mayor, to complement their campus as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might be prudent to let the hospital and the Aiken Housing Authority, since they're going to provide the support, let them choose.
Right. And then USC Aiken, of course, is planning to remodel, I think, the front of the Penland building. And so they were thinking, well, we'd like to have something that kind of fits with that design. So I don't know whether you want to get into different designs at different locations or if you kind of want a branding look, you know, so that we say, well, this is kind of the way it is, mm-hmm. Or if you if it matters.
I think that would be fine. We do need to set kind of a limit on the price, though, unless, you know.
The grant will take care of
that. I mean, depending, the grant will?
Right, yeah. Your contribution to the match required is actually the labor to put it up.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll pay the cash if you'll supply the labor, and it's a pretty good partnership. And
sure.
we probably can claim
sure.
some, I would think, where people are putting up a light, you know, like... Aiken Regional or some of the other amenities that maybe add the trash cans, all of that contributes to providing that 20% match.
Do we have any history on which is more maintainable, which is a kind of stronger roof, etc.?
We have not had any problems. We have one right now at Aiken Technical College and one in Burnett Town, but we haven't had any maintenance issues with either one of them. So we don't have enough track record established, I think, here in Aiken to really have had a problem either way.
Okay, very good. We do need a motion and a second.
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the bus shelter with the stipulation that they have at least two openings or maybe no openings, and that we put a no smoking sign in.
Okay.
Right. Second, Mr. Mayor.
I have a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Under new business, one item, approval of the public safety grant. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. Public Safety Department has given to our city clerk for review, public review, a grant that we received from the United States Department of Justice for $16,185. It's a 100% grant. There's no matching funds that are involved with it. We intend to go ahead and hopefully buy the remaining cameras that we need for our vehicles to replace the old VHS with DVD cameras with this funding. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of a $16,185 grant from the Department of Justice for video cameras in our public safety vehicles.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for approval of the $16,185 grant for public safety for the cameras.
Okay.
DVD cameras.
Very good.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. And since it's on our agenda for petitions and requests, we've got one item, video of council for the 175th birthday celebration. I beg your pardon. We do have another issue that was brought to us kind of informally, but if someone would like to speak on it, this is the request. Aiken City Council is
Russ Farrar.
Russ Farrar.
He's left.
He left? Okay.
I think, Mr. Mayor, he didn't think that he could make comment. This is for information.
Okay, we'll take this as information, but this has to do with an issue that was resolved back in 06 and 07. It went through the court system. Had to do with an annexation along Whiskey Road, and it was approved by DOT and everybody, and so it's as far as we're concerned right now, and our attorneys, Gary, you want to make a comment about it?
Well, I don't know necessarily that it was approved by DOT as much as there was a lawsuit that was filed
by DOT,
and it was filed by DOT, and a resolution of that lawsuit was DOT and the City of Aiken entered into a consent order that was approved by Judge Jack Early that basically affirmed that the Whiskey Road annexation was now the law of the land.
Okay, sir.
Can someone call him or let him know? He just handed me the information, and I'm not sure what he was expecting tonight, but let him know where that stands.
I could certainly write him a letter, okay, and let him know that it's already gone through the legal system.
Good.
Okay.
And was approved by Judge Early.
That would be great.
Good.
Okay. I assume someone's there that's going to take a video of City Council. Okay. All right. Well, this concludes really our agenda for our meeting. So,
thank you, Scouts.
Thank you for being here.